Hello.
Podcast Network Asia. Network Asia.
Hi everyone. Welcome to season 2, episode 5 of the Parenting Podcast. My name is Jelly Victor, just in case you've forgotten.
Yeah, I miss you guys too. I'm JC Alelis. And yeah, it's been a minute, Gels. I hope you're doing amazing. And personally, I hope you have a lot of energy to think fast and talk fast today. Because today, I think for the first time in the history of the podcast, we're joined by not just one amazing guest, but by two.
You know, the reason for that, JC, is because we've been gone for a while. We're making up for lost time.
Yeah.
You know, and we kind of felt like people aren't going to come back just for JC and I.
Mm-hmm.
So we made sure that you have plenty of reasons to come here and stay until the very end of our conversation. Yes, think fast and talk fast. I definitely have that cap on in preparation for this episode. Now, you know, I have to say we really did come prepared today as we have a conversation with our two special guests about our children. Today's topic is about a child's developing brain, the importance of the first 5 years of life. What do you think, JC? Have you finished the 5 years of life?
I'm just about. So Hope is turning 6 in July and Atticus just turned 3. So I'm pretty much very much in that phase of my child rearing.
Okay.
So I'm excited. I'm going to be taking notes. I'm sure the parents listening in will be doing the same as well. So how about let's introduce our guests?
Oh, let's do that right now. First up, she is an actress, television host, model, online creator, and podcaster. Let's give it up for the beautiful Isabel Daza.
And of course, together with Belle, we have the director and deputy head of school at the Australian International School of Manila, David Esteban.
Marriage. Time plays a very important role. So I'm here today to challenge anyone who's married with kids or going to go down that path one day to really think about your time.
Pregnancy.
Pregnancy is a really great experience. And there can be this amazing feeling of pride.
Parenthood. It's about balancing the now with the future while teaching the right habits and hoping that your kids grow up to be great.
This is the Parenting Podcast, powered by Podcast Network Asia, brought to you by Wyeth Nutrition.
Welcome to the pod also, David and Belle.
Hi. Hi, Jelly. Hi, JC. Thank you so much for that very kind introduction. I am so happy to be here and learn from everybody that's going to be on the show today.
Thanks a lot. Thanks, JC. Hi, Jelly. Hi, Isabel.
Hi, David. All right. We're not going to keep the listeners waiting. Partner, let's do this, shall we?
Yeah, let's. You know what? Like everyone here, just for the information of the people listening, it was such a gargantuan effort to get, you know, everybody's schedules
correct
to match. Because we're all so busy. We're such busy parents. I mean, I know David, for one, is in Palawan setting up, you know, something.
It's new. Fine,
I won't
JC
spoil it for people, but he's in Palawan. Yeah. Belle, you just came from Europe.
And she's been all over the world.
All over the world, right?
Yes, I was in the Philippines 3 weeks ago because I was finishing a show, mm-hmm. For work. And then I went to Europe for my cousin's wedding. And now I'm in hotel quarantine in Hong Kong. And I'll be back in the Philippines end of June.
And throughout all of these movements, you had the boys with you. Is that right?
Yes, exactly.
What was that like?
It was hectic. That was the theme of our trip. But it was a lot of fun. So, you know, like I'm sure you would know as a parent, juggling everything, trying to be hands-on and present, but at the same time, you also have some things that you have to do. It doesn't necessarily have to be work. It could be like admin things and bills to pay and stuff. So there's always something to be done.
Right. And just logistically, like having your brain also in 3 different countries at the same time, it's tough, I'm sure.
It's absolutely tough for the parent. Logistic-wise, people also don't realize that when you travel, you need 2 of everything, 2 car
exactly
seats, 2 you know, strollers, and then you bring everything from one area to another. So, yeah.
So I'm sure also, Jelly, you agree, like when you travel, like as a parent, you're so switched on, right? Like you're so awake. And it
has more so now,
right? Because of all the things you have to consider. But David, does traveling have the same kind of, what is traveling like for a kid? I mean, are they picking up, are they growing as much as we feel like we are? Are they being stressed out as we feel like we are?
Well, there's a saying, at least it was told to me by my Latin teacher, which goes that the greatest teacher is the book of life. And it's through travel that we learn. right? So the greatest gift you can give your kids is really traveling, you know, experiencing the world, getting to know different cultures and people from different places, and to see how varied and wonderful the world is. Yeah. Their brains are firing. Their synapses are firing. They're learning on so many different levels when you take them traveling.
Okay, you know what, David? I love it that you said that right away, because I know a lot of parents contemplate, you know, am I even going to bother traveling with my little child? Because they're not going to remember this. But with you stating that, that's already given them plenty of reasons to really travel and explore the world. But you said something very interesting about the brain. Now, I've heard this saying that the brain is the most expensive organ in the body, that most of our energy budget actually goes to the brain. Can you explain that to me and just about all the other parents who've read the same thing?
Sure. I don't have the exact stats on me, but our brains are what makes humans unique. You know, this is what we do, is we learn. We're amazing at learning. And unlike other animals, you know, we learn, we continue to learn a lot after we're born, you know, and our brain is developed to be able to continue learning through life. But the first part of life is like a supercharged period of learning, you know? And yeah, certain things, like our brain requires much more like omega-3 fatty acids. Mm-hmm. It requires a certain level of nutrition, which the rest of our body does not require.
What is that specific window? So you mentioned early on in life is really when, you know, all things are firing, all the synapses are growing. What is that specific golden window of opportunity, and really how much of the gains do you really get during that window?
Well, it's said that up to 90%, right, of the brain develops from the ages of 0 to 5, right? So what we want to do is maximize that, right? And this is, you know, when humans are born, think about it, you know, you're all parents, I'm a parent as well, you know, babies are smart.
Yes. Right?
Babies are really smart. They're actually quite aware of what's going on, and they're learning things so quickly, and they're picking things up so quickly. You know, within, you know, a year, they can move in completely different ways from how they began. You know, in the beginning, they're sort of just lying there and looking around, you know, maybe moving their head, communicating very minimally through the sound of their cry, if you listen carefully, you know. And then after a year, with my daughter, for example, by the time she was 5 months old, that's the time that kids start to learn language. We taught sign language. You know, within a few months, she was signing back, right? Within, I think, when she was eight months old, so about a year, she began signing simply back. That's an incredible period of learning, going from not understanding any language at all to being able to communicate, you know? And then think about what happens in the next year when they're about a year and a half to 2 years old and they're actually being able to string words together, you know? And I'm sure you, as parents, you've all experienced the wonder. It's funny, when people ask me, when I was a parent, I'm still a parent, but when I was a young parent, people would ask me how old my daughter was. And I would always say, oh, this is the best time. This is the best time. So far, it's always been the best time because you know,
we feel you.
I'm learning along with them, and you know, you're able to communicate with them much more deeply, and you're able to see the world through their eyes as well. And the wonder that they have in the world, and you know, the process of discovery and the funny, interesting questions they ask as well make me think, you know, and yeah.
Just a quick probe, David. Carmen is 8? Is she?
She's 13 now.
She's 13. Wow. Yeah. Okay. So she's 13. Is there any, so pretty much she had the first, you know, the early years, the 0 to 5, the golden window of opportunity. She had that way before this whole pandemic situation started. How drastic do you think the effect is on our kids that are, you know, in the past 2 years, part of their crucial early years is well within that pandemic era?
Yeah.
How significant do you think that is?
I think it's significant, right? Now, it really depends on what parents do. And I know that, you know, the parents, for example, that are taking the time to listen to your podcast are the kinds of parents that are going to keep their kids engaged. And that's what's key, right? I work with the Australian International School, and one thing that they do in Australia is they keep the breaks short, because, you know, studies have shown that after a long summer, for example, when the kids aren't engaged, they will begin to actually score lower in IQ tests. You know, this is school-age children. But that doesn't happen if the parents are keeping them engaged through the summer, right? And it's the same thing with this pandemic. Yes, it's a challenge, right? You know, they're not outdoors as much. They're not socializing perhaps as much. But parents can and should continue to keep their children engaged. It's like playing tennis. You know, there's a serve and then in return. Right. As a parent, you serve different opportunities for learning and see what your child might be interested in, whether it's music,
different exposure,
that's right, art, you know, a particular sport, maybe reading a particular type of book, whatever it is. You could even be coding, whatever it is. And depending how the child responds, you decide whether to keep that volley going or to switch into perhaps another serve.
I wanted to ask Belle because David already has a 13-year-old, but Belle has pretty young kids. So those are the kids that we're talking about, the 0 to 5. Belle, for you with the boys, how did you ensure that, you know, you still got their brains to develop and develop the way you would have wanted despite being in a pandemic? How did you do it?
Talking about where I was, you know, this whole pandemic, I have had the privilege of traveling around when I was in the Philippines, and then I went to Europe, and then obviously now back in Hong Kong, I do have my Promil Gold 4 stock, and I make sure that we drink that every morning.
It goes everywhere with you.
Exactly. No, it's a necessity. So, but also talking about how children are flexible and this golden window of opportunity, just I'll give you an example. When we travel to the Philippines, Balti is able to switch to Filipino, and he's able to understand when he talks to people in Filipino. And then when we go to France, wow, he forgot that he was born in the Philippines. He has a French accent and he just converses in French. And I'm like, okay. And then he even makes fun of my French accent. I have this video. He's trolling me. He's a little bit of a troll.
He's correcting your accent.
Yeah, he's correcting my accent. And then obviously here in Hong Kong, he's able to adapt and sing Mandarin songs because he's aware that in Hong Kong, the language is Mandarin and also English. So he's able to think fast and really just kind of adapt to his environment, which I am so shocked at because I'm always worried about, oh my gosh, the jet lag. Oh, will he be able to, you know, what's he going to wear? You know, when you travel, I guess you have to think of what they're going to wear, what they're going to eat, if they're going to like the food. But I'm always amazed at how, I guess, children are able to be flexible to their environment and how they're able to think and connect that, oh, in France, this is the language we speak. In the Philippines, it's this. And in Hong Kong, it's this. So that's just an example of how I'm amazed at the age 4, you can, you know, already differentiate the different environment and places and countries that you're in. And make that connection, diba?
Belle, it's so awe-inspiring to hear that story and for your boys to have that switch and quickly pivot to what's necessary for the environment and culture that they're exposed to. But you have to give yourself credit because they wouldn't have been like that if it wasn't for all the learning, the education you've taken upon yourself as an educator and as an alpha mom, constantly trying to enrich your knowledge. How did you do that? How did you develop your boys to become such fast thinkers?
You know what? I think parenting is one of the most important roles we play, but it is not necessarily taught to us. Like, if you're going to be studying early childhood education, you go to school for that. Or if you're going to be a doctor, we go to school for it, right? But as parents, we don't necessarily go to school. We kind of just figure things out. So I had to read a lot of books. I've read numerous parenting books and I took which styles resonated with me. One of them I recommend is, it's called Bringing Up Bebe, which is a French parenting style. And they talk about how you have to give them freedom, but within a structure. So you teach children boundaries, but you allow them to make their own decisions so that they're empowered. So one example is if they want to choose a certain food, you know, and let's say Balti, he loves plain pasta and he always requests it. And sometimes it's not on the menu. So I'll give you an example. Last week, it was pasta bolognese or chicken and rice. And he kept asking for plain pasta. And as a parent, it's easier to say yes. My mom used to tell me, you know, it's easier to say yes than no. And I never understood it until now because you just want to appease them, right? But in the long term, it can have not necessarily the best effects. So going back to my story, I'll tell him, I know you want plain pasta, but that's not on the menu right now. What's on the menu is chicken and rice with broccoli or spaghetti bolognese. You can choose. And I've seen that giving them the decision to pick what they like helps build trust and helps them also develop their, you know, decisions and think fast also. So I really try to respect them as a human being and not just say, no, eat this because I said so. I think that respect is mutual in parenting a child. And I try to impart that on my kids.
I'm going to ask David this next question because you mentioned, David, the word or the term IQ. And I just have a feeling that IQ has kind of taken a subordinate role to the other, you know, aspects of child reading. Of course, we know. Let's take it as a given that emotional intelligence is important. Let's take it as a given that David does a lot of movement work, right? You do a lot of animal film movement work. So you do. So for sure, Carmen, you know, has that down pat also physically. She's you know, she...
she's her own child. She's her own being.
Hopefully. But, you know, at least she's exposed to it. She's exposed to it. I mean, that's another dimension that I guess, you know, people have learned to appreciate. But, you know, IQ, what's the role of IQ? What's the significance of, you know, how fast, you know, children think toward becoming more successful, let's say, later on in life, in terms of happiness, in terms of mental well-being? How important is IQ?
That's a great question, JC. In the study I quoted, that's what they measured. That's what they happened to measure, and that's the reason I bring it up. But I think it's important to be more holistic, and the way that you've been talking about it, where you're thinking about emotional quotient, you're thinking about, you know, being body smart and being healthy, knowing how to make the right choices, boundaries, as Belle was talking about. All of these things are really important. And all of these things come from the brain, right? All of these things come from being able to think fast, right? So if we're able to make these connections in the brain quickly and in a healthy manner, these are the patterns that stay with us through our lives, right? We learn, these are all learned behaviors that we take on.
Sorry, so just to pick up on that. So what you're saying is, because there's a tendency to think of IQ or thinking fast as being book smart.
Right.
Like, oh, I'm going to nail Jeopardy, you know, when I grow up. That's that tendency. But you're saying is that being a fast thinker correlates to, you know, because it's all in the brain.
Yeah.
Maybe correlates to other things as well.
Absolutely. You know, I tell a story about my mother was a preschool teacher in the beginning of the 60s, but in the 1970s and 80s as well. And in the 70s, she had one student who was adopted from an orphanage in China. And in those days, they swaddled the babies until they were about a year and a half year old. So they couldn't move, right? And she noticed that this particular child was behind his peers in basic literacy and numeracy and other things, right? And she was a proponent of this move, grow, learn movement, which recognized that when children learn, they learn holistically, right? They don't just learn by reading. Hopping on one foot, for example, can help a child learn about patterns, right? For example, like hopscotch, you know, simple hopscotch we learn so much just by doing that. So what she did was...
That's your AB pattern right there.
Yeah, left leg, right leg, both
legs. Patterns are the beginning of math, okay. Right? And logic. And so what she did was she had the child go through sort of a regression in terms of movements. So she had him scoot, crawl, walk on the blades of his feet, walk on tippy toes, walk on just the heels, and had a program like that for a few weeks. And within a few months, he was up to speed with his peers, right? And so all of that comes from the brain, comes from our amazing organ, which is the brain.
All of those are brain connections.
Yeah. Okay. And so when we're saying think fast, yes, it can display itself in terms of, you know, a great memory. So you can know trivia and answer Jeopardy questions well, but it can also display in terms of being able to be socially intelligent, you know, and being able to recognize other people's emotions and being able to empathize with them as well. That's a certain type of intelligence as well.
David, you're talking about quite a lot of activities right there. And even though most of what you mentioned can be done at home, I do know for a fact that for kids, being active, especially outdoors and socializing with other kids, is crucial for their brain development. But that was not exactly possible for a lot of parents during the pandemic. Do you think that's a challenge, and will that have an effect on the kids' brain development? And if so, how can parents actually remedy that, just in case we happen to be, you know, in a pandemic again? I pray to God that that doesn't happen, but, you know, just so we're prepared.
I think there was a lot of parents started doing children's yoga, right? There was a very popular kitty yoga brand that went on. And I think that, I thought that was great, right? It also, you know, there's a universe around us and there's a universe inside, right? So practicing yoga, mindfulness, these types of activities allow a certain level of introspection, which is also valuable, right? So children are naturally resilient, right? Children are very, very resilient. So yes, these challenges were presented. At the same time, it's natural for children to learn. So they're going to keep on learning, right? Now, You can socialize in other ways. You know, if you're spending more time with adults, then perhaps you might notice that their language may have improved at a greater rate, you know, and they're able to, you know, because at least you see that with children who are only children, they tend to develop language a bit more quickly because they're dealing with other adults, right? But they're also, you know, but maybe there might be some other emotional things where, you know, maybe it might be about sharing, for example. That might be an area where parents have to be more conscious in working with their kids,
yes.
especially those without siblings. So I think it's really a matter of being sensitive and aware of your child, right? Or your children, just trying to do what's right in the next moment, you know? Yeah, but there are ways. There are ways. If we stay creative and we encourage our children to be creative, then they will.
You know, partner, I can see the brain connections happening in your brain right now. I know you have a lot of questions for our guests, but I just wanted to scoot on over to Belle very quickly. Even though you were able to travel a lot, and like you said, you were privileged enough to be able to take the boys everywhere, but there was a time that we were in serious lockdown. And knowing fully well the knowledge that you have as an alpha mom, how did you keep the boys still active? Because, you know, just in case there are people who don't know it, but Belle is very active. Her, I think Balti's first birthday was like sports themed. That's how much she loves movement. So Belle, how were you able to cope with that? Just getting the boys to still be active while being on lockdown.
I thrive on routines, and also learning from early childhood education is that children thrive and understand and learn best when they know what's coming next. So it's always routine. Like, for example, 6:30 a.m. we wake up, 6:45 we do our meditation, we do 10 deep breaths, we do our affirmations, then we do our stretches. Like what David said, we do some yoga poses. We introduce that at a very early age. It doesn't have to be very serious, you know. When we introduce yoga to kids, sometimes they're like, no, do this, do that. But kids are, they're not going to sit still and do a downward dog for 10 seconds, right? They're going to lift their leg up and do some funny movement. So that's okay. How I introduce a movement is, one example is, right now I'm on 7-day quarantine here in the Hong Kong, and I set up an obstacle course.
Nice.
So I put up the chairs and I'm like,
to travel with
yeah, exactly. I'm like, jump on the bed and then go under, because I also believe in, you know, move, grow and learn. I love that whole kind of belief system, even as adults. I think it's very healing and nurturing to us. So as children, for children who went through the pandemic, being cooped up in an apartment is definitely very tough. But as parents, a lot of us have to get creative. I was stuck with Balti for 4 weeks in Hong Kong. And my gosh, we used up a lot of Jell-O. We did a lot of activities, science, art.
Yeah.
And it's tough. Like, you can see, I have a chat group of moms. They're like, bakit? My gosh, first, we need to pay our teachers more because she had to be the teacher for like a whole year. And second, it's so difficult to keep our children entertained and engaged. But yeah, as parents, we end up becoming creative.
I love the obstacle course. It is the very definition of alpha mom right there. No, but it's fun. It's fun. I mean, you know, you're stuck in a hotel room, so you make do with what you have. Speaking of Jeopardy, quick Google search. Every second in the first 5 years of life, every second, 1 million new brain connections. That is unreal. How do you even sustain that? I mean, is that where all the naps and the rice, you know, how do you sustain that? And, you know, putting myself in an alpha mom's shoes, how do I enhance that? You know, how do I hack that? How do I make that even faster?
Yeah, I think, like, you know, the DHAs, obviously the omega-3 fatty acids are important. And also, just that's why when I heard of the alpha lipids, you know, it's really a great thing. Right? Because you want to be able to have the synapses firing more quickly, right? And anything that helps with that is a good thing, right? The biggest correlation with brain development is nutrition. It's very important to have that done, sort of have it covered. And then I love some of the things that Belle was talking about as well, you know, having the routines, fantastic. And then structure within a structure that allows for creativity, super duper important. As well. Yeah. One more thing, if I could add one more thing, is one thing I started doing with my daughter as well at a young age. My wife and I started doing a gratitude practice at the end of the day. It's also a great way to, you're talking about happiness, JC, and gratitude, it has a very high correlation with experiencing happiness and satisfaction. And so that can be practiced as well, just like anything else. Yeah.
Right. And I like how you're doing it at the end of the day. I mean, there's also something to be said about a gratitude practice in the beginning, but when you have it at the end of a day that's been particularly rough, you know, I think it's a good mindset to have, that you can have a gratitude practice even after all that, right?
I think something to add to what David was recommending about the gratitude practice, what my daughter and I do is that we set our intentions for the day in the beginning of the day, you know? So it's like you're already sending out what it is you would like to get out of your day. And then at the end, that's when you're like, oh, let me take that. That's achieved. Okay, maybe we can do better on this one. You know, I was thinking about how, because my daughter is an alpha kid as well. And I remember when we were still enrolled in regular school, because right now we're homeschooling. We've been homeschooling for about a year. But when she still had teachers, I noticed my daughter, like the teacher would give her instructions. And then all of the classmates would do their thing. And then my daughter, initially, I was ashamed of this. My daughter would give recommendations. She would tell her classmates, hey, you know, maybe try doing it like this. You can do it faster. Try doing it like this. You'll finish faster, you know. And initially, I'm like, I was thinking maybe she shouldn't do that because, you know, either the parents who are listening in might be like, what's with this child anyway? But now I realize that's her fast thinking skill into play. You know, she's coming up with all of these ideas so she can finish sooner, so she can play, you know. And for the parents out there, how can they really develop? You've already mentioned nutrition. You've mentioned activities. What else can parents do to really promote these fast brain connections?
I think the biggest thing is really, it's that serve and response, you know, present opportunities for learning, right? Present as many different opportunities for learning as possible. Sometimes, you know, that means going out of your own comfort zone because they might be interested in things that you're not, you know, and that's a good thing. You don't know necessarily what gifts the child might have unless they're exposed to them. And so, but the opportunities are all around us. Right. And so I like what Isabel was talking about with Jell-O, for example, you know, being able to find science experiments in a potato that you can just watch grow, or, you know, try to get make a potato battery. And then suddenly that might spark the child's interest either in agriculture or perhaps in engineering. Who knows which way it's going to go. Right. But you're presenting that learning opportunity, and then you follow and support the child. So it's really about helping them to ask questions and find answers for themselves, because we're not going to be with them forever and they're not going to be in school forever.
Oh, don't say that. Just kidding.
Won't we?
Yeah, I have a teenager. So it's awesome and it's great, but that's what we're preparing them for, right? And being able to ask the right questions is much more valuable than always having the right answer. And so that's what I like, actually, Jelly, about your story with your daughter, is that, you know, she's so creative in finding different ways to solve a given problem. You know, that's creative problem solving. That sounds great.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I will not be ashamed. Yeah, sure, Belle.
To add to what David was saying, I think what I love about having Balti as an alpha kid is I am also challenged as an alpha mom into how to answer his questions. I think I said this before in an article. His favorite thing is Noah's Ark because he loves animals. And then he asked me, Mama, do the whales go on the ark? Because it's a flood. And I was like, I don't know. We've read numerous, you know, books and Bible stories, and there's never like a little whale entering the ark, right? They're kind of in the flood. And I'm like, So we were like, do we put the whale in the ark or do we put them in the water? And I said, I think we...
So how do you get yourself out of that one?
No, so I said, what do you think? And he solved it. And he said, I think they're going to be in the flood because they're water and that's their, like, you know, that's their home.
Art.
But just to be able to understand that in Noah's Ark, land animals go on the ark, but water animals swim in the flood and they're able to survive. For me, that was like, I'll get back to you on that. Right.
Mind blown.
Yeah. So as an alpha mom, it's great to see the challenge that's thrown back at you, because we have to find creative ways into teaching them, or, you know, we also learn from them as well.
Also creative ways of getting out of that.
We're like, Google. Yeah.
Sounds like I need to drink some alpha lipids also.
You need some promo gold.
You know, there does come a point where you kind of have to slow it down, or not really step on the brakes, but I guess, you know, does it really factor in that maybe do we push our kids too much sometimes also, David, or, you know, as a parent, you kind of have to let them chill out for a bit, because 1 million connections per second sounds like it's really on fire, their brains. What kind of recovery, or what kind of, how do you balance that out? All of that, you know, fire and brimstone happening in their
heads.
I think
it's important not to overschedule, right? Sometimes as parents, you know, we tend to, I know I fall into that. We make sure that everything, because we want to keep them engaged, and we think that that means keeping them engaged 24/7, you know, but the reality is that, you know, a little bit of space is what allows creativity to occur, right? And boredom can lead to creativity and can lead them to them discovering things on their own. So there has to be a bit of space. So we want to be careful not to overschedule. And so at our schools, for example, we have a no homework policy precisely for that reason, because there should be downtime as well for free play, you know?
I like your school.
I'll add to that, David, I'm a huge believer that play works and boredom is really nourishing. I had this realization last year when I was like trying to cram in so many things. I was like, okay, I have to do my podcast. I have to do this post. I'm going to work out. I'm going to do this. I have to take a pottery class, blah, blah, blah. And I just felt so run down. And I was staring at this blank wall and I was just breathing. And I just realized sometimes boredom, or most of the time, is really nourishing to us. And what more to a child where, like you said, that's when creativity hits. That's when they get ideas like, oh, what am I going to do now? I'm going to play with a stick or the stone and, you know, create a castle with it.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So as parents, I don't think that you need to keep them engaged and fully stimulated 24/7. You have to teach them to learn how to self-soothe. It's really, really nurturing also. And they learn a lot from that.
Belle, what does Balti like to do creatively? What's his go-to outlet?
So he plays with a lot of rocks and he kind of makes like towers, and then he'll put some of his animals and he'll make like a, he'll use sticks and leaves and he'll make like an animal shelter with those rocks all the time.
Or Noah's Ark,
anything to do with Noah's Ark. So yeah, sometimes when he tells me, he's like, I'm bored. I'm like, it's okay. Boredom is really nourishing. So because I try to introduce also different words to Balti so that his vocabulary will evolve. And he's like, what's nourishing? What's this?
Earlier today, my daughter said to me, Mom, what is this monstrosity? You know, I just smiled at her because I appreciate it. David, when we started the conversation, we're coming to a close pretty soon. You talked about the primary thing that parents really need to focus on to build all of those connections, to fire up those synapses, is nutrition. Particularly, what is it about nutrition that parents really need to focus on? What do they need to ensure their kids get?
Obviously, you have to have a balance. You have to make sure that the nutrition is balanced, right? But and for brain development in particular, it's really the omega-3 fatty acids, so the DHA. And that's not enough with, you know, the alpha lipids. It's taking it to the next level. What it does is it enhances the speed at which neurosynapses are firing and you're able to connect more, learn more. And this is super duper important, especially in the golden window in the first 5 years.
All right. Noting that down. What about for you, Belle? What was your experience in making, you know, providing that nourishment to the boys and then seeing how they are now?
Well, definitely, I think nourishment and food plays a huge role in developing a child holistically. And of course, with their brain development. I studied this as well. And I was working with Payatas, which is a foundation that feeds children in Payatas. And together with the moms and the teachers and the founders, even them, they say there is a golden window of opportunity from ages 0 to 5 where we have to nourish the brain. After that, you know, it's not necessarily as crucial as this time. For me as a mom, like I said, I keep it in a routine. We wake up, we do our meditation. And then before we have breakfast, we prepare the table together. I have my Promil Gold 4. That's the first thing they drink. Then they'll have fruit, a piece of toast. Sometimes they'll have yogurt or sometimes they'll have sausages. But I try to keep it balanced, even though right now I'm struggling because Balti throws everything that's green off his plate.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I make sure that he, you know, has that nourishment in another form, which is basically having promo gold for in the morning. And also for lunch, we try to sometimes cook and prepare things together. I think it's important that children see where the food comes from, see that we shouldn't be wasting it, because the concept of waste they don't necessarily understand it. So I always try to say, okay, if we're making chicken and rice or spaghetti or fish sticks, I say, okay, this is the fish. We're going to coat it in bread, and then we're going to dip it in the egg, and then we're going to pan fry it. And, you know, this is exactly how much we need. We don't want to throw away food. So I think, like, exactly what David said a while ago, also, there's an opportunity for learning in every single situation. It's just up to you as a parent to see that.
Great. Yeah, yeah, for sure. And, you know, as much as we want to really delve deeper, could keep the conversation going, we are pressed for time. So before we wrap up the episode, if we could have one takeaway from each of you, for our listeners, because we have a lot of alpha moms also listening, want the
alpha
best
dads.
Alpha dads want the best for their children. What's the main takeaway? Because there's a lot of information that we've been talking about. Well, what's the main takeaway that you want them to get? Let's start with David.
I'm going to say, keep learning and show that you love learning. As long as you connect yourself with the world and, like, oh, I didn't realize this about clouds or whatever it is. You know what I mean? And your kids see that you're still learning and discovering. Children learn a lot through modeling, right? They see behaviors and they will follow those behaviors. Keep on learning, love learning, and your kids are going to keep on learning and they'll love learning as well.
So I'm just going to insert this also, because I saw something a while back that it's actually more important for the parents to be off the screen rather than, I mean, we're focusing too much on the kids being off the screen, but not enough on ourselves. Because obviously, right, if you're looking at your screen or a screen all the time, then you as an adult are not looking out into the world, which you're
Yes.
Right. That is supported. So that is scientific fact, right? Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you for talking about that. Yeah, thank you for saying that, partner, because that is something a lot of parents are amiss with, you know, just that screen time.
Yeah.
You're limiting your child's, but not for you. What about for you, Belle? What's your best advice you can give your parents, or what is that one main takeaway you want them to have from this episode?
Okay, so I try not to preach too much because I think parenting styles are very different depending on what your child's needs are. But one thing that I feel very strongly about, and I've done a lot of research and I've talked to a lot of experts on, is when children have tantrums, I try to encourage the parents to allow them to cry. One of the main reasons is because crying is very self-healing and it's self-regulating. And as adults, especially in men, I find that a lot of men these days don't really cry. It's associated to shame. It's, you know, not being in touch with your true feelings. And they say it's because when you were younger, parents always say, you're a boy, you don't cry, right? So with Balti now, when they're having a tantrum, I always keep in mind, they're not trying to give you a hard time. They're having a hard time. So they're unable to communicate what they need. So as a parent, I think my job is to try to understand what they need. So if Balti is having a tantrum, I go down on my knees, I look at him in the eye, and I say, you know, I see that you're feeling really sad right now. Are you hungry? Or sometimes, you know, they don't even need me to talk. I just sit there and say, you're safe here with me. It's okay to cry. And I try to create an environment where he feels safe to show his true emotions, because I think it's so important for children to be able to express themselves without having that fear and that shame. And that in turn leads to a child who is more intelligent and resilient and somebody who will be successful in life. That's my personal belief. And I like to share that with other parents, because our tendency is, don't cry, stop it. We're here in the mall. You know, I'll give you a toy. Mm-hmm. You know, stop that. But really,
you're embarrassing me.
Really, it's not a reflection on you. It's just how your child is feeling right now. And I think my role as a parent is to protect that space and allow him or her to express how they feel. So, yeah, your child's not giving you a hard time. He or she is having a hard time. So that's it.
Yeah.
That is a great advice right there. Wait, partner, I know we're supposed to wrap this
up,
you know, Belle there just shared some amazing nuggets of wisdom. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to go back to David and ask, that's dealing with tantrums and, you know, if they're crying, you let them cry. Just very quickly, David, what if, like, for example, you're trying to control screen time, right? So you're limiting the amount of gadget use. And then they give you a grumpy face, or they're being grumpy and out of character. How do you deal with that? Do you scold them? Do you just let them be? Because you also don't want to support that.
That's a great question, Jelly.
I need help.
I honestly don't know if there's one answer. You know, I don't know if there's one size fit all.
Okay.
I will go back to structure being important, you know, and boundaries being important, right? So especially depending on the age, they're really looking for those boundaries, right? They want them to be there. And as long as those are clear and then they have freedom within those boundaries, as Belle was talking about a while ago, then it is workable. Now, sometimes, you know, there might be strange times when you can have exceptions, right? If, you know, I don't want to make examples, but as a parent, you can be sensitive to these things as well, right? If maybe you're not able to go home, and you have to stay out later than usual, and the kid is getting a little bit grumpy, you know how kids get. So maybe at that point, it might be a mechanism to help cool down. And I don't want to say towards sleep, because you shouldn't be on a gadget for 30 minutes or an hour before sleeping, but, you know, moving towards a more restful state, you know, it depends. Yeah.
Jelly. Yeah. I'll jump in here.
Yes, Belle.
I'll jump in here because I have the same problem. Going back to boundaries, I think it was Janet Lansbury. She's under Magda Gerber, and she talks about how boundaries are the highest form of love. And so with your example, you say, how do we set that boundary if, you know, they throw a tantrum? What I do, my example is, because Balti loves to watch Netflix and YouTube and Disney, I say, okay, I give him a timer. First, I say, okay, there's 5 more minutes of screen time. So that he knows, and in his head, okay, it's 5 more minutes. Okay, it's 3 more minutes. And then when the time comes and he has to give back the iPad, or he has to stop and he doesn't want to, I always explain, like, listen, we had a deal and I want to be able to trust you so that the next time you ask me for screen time, I can trust you and you'll keep your word. I don't think it's always, you know, black or white. He gives it right away. There's definitely a struggle there, mm-hmm. but there's a negotiation, but I always try to give him the trust so that he feels that he also has the power and I respect him. And the next thing that I do after he gives in the iPad or whatever, we do this thing. I learned it from my friend Mara. We shake off the scaries. So shaking off the scaries is because when children watch the iPad, they always get really moody and whiny and grumpy after. So we as a parent, I say, okay, it's time to shake off the scaries, and we'll shake physically. We'll jump up and down and shake, 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 and do funny faces so that they get out of that zone of being on the iPad.
That's cool.
And so it's one step outside. Yeah. It's just to, like, bring their mind out of the iPad, and we're doing something silly together to grow. And I think that falls into move, grow, learn as well. Mm-hmm. And so after we shake off the scaries, then I'll say, okay, what do you want to do together? So that's just one thing that I do. Maybe you could try it and see if it works.
Oh, for sure. Like, yeah, right after this recording. Thank you, Belle.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. If I can add one more thing. That's a great point. I like also, Belle, you said, and move on to something else. I think that's important as well. Because if you replace it with something, then it makes it easier to let go of something. Because maybe they still want to do something. So read a book or play with a toy or whatever it is. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you, David and Belle.
Thank you.
And with that, thank you so much once again to David Esteban, Isabel Daza. Thank you for carving time out for this recording to actually happen, for both of you to be here and educate the parents out there. Actually, not so much educate, but to share your experiences with all the other alpha moms and alpha dads. We have gained a lot from this discussion. You know what? We truly appreciate your time, and thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being that example, that guide for all the other alpha moms and dads out there. Partner?
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I think, you know, picking up from the last segment, I guess age 0 to 5 is also a golden window of opportunity to teach them, to show them how it's like to be a decent, good human being. I mean, more than fast thinking, it's really, I guess, our opportunity to show them, teach them empathy, so that can be hard coded in their minds as well. right?
I want to say thank you as well, Jelly and JC. And Belle, it's been a pleasure spending time with engaged parents like yourselves. I've learned a lot as well. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. That was fun.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. And I think Belle has an obstacle course to run. Aiden has a school to set up. So thank you so much once again for joining, and hope to have you on again next time.
Anytime. Thanks a lot, JC.
Bye, guys.
Bye, Jelly.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Thank Bye-bye. You. All right. That was quite an episode. I think it lived up to our intro of needing to think fast and talk fast. Yes. And especially with those two guests, and they had a lot of insights, anecdotes, you know.
You know what, partner? I cannot wait to use that shake of the scaries mm-hmm. trick of Belle's. You know, what impresses me about Belle every single time, you know, this alpha mom is one that is constantly, you know, she's past that golden window of opportunity, but right. she's still constantly trying to build those brain connections, creating new ones. Mm-hmm. She's constantly learning, mm-hmm. evolving. And, you know, I love that she is very generous with her knowledge. That sharing this, shaking the scaries is one yeah. that I really want to make use of, because, you know, that's a hack that I think is definitely helpful, especially since I don't know of a single parent who does not have as part of their goals, lessen their kids' gadget time.
Yeah, I know. I can relate. And I think it also is compounded by the fact that, hey, we want to set boundaries, but at the same time, we want to treat them with respect. We don't want to just get, you know, wrestle the gadget away from them and then tell them to deal with it. You know, that's maybe what other generations of parents would have done. But at the same, yeah. but from our end, we want them.
Basta, sinabi ko, ako magulang.
Diba? Ako magulang, wala kang magagawa. Oh. Diba? But now, there is that recognition that, okay, you know, you're not gonna like this, but these are the boundaries. We agreed to it. Give me back the gadget. Okay, you're feeling the scaries. Now, shake off the scaries. I love it. I love the idea. So I'm eager to put it into practice.
Yeah, and in our case, we're probably going to, I'm even going to give her the chance to choose what song to mm-hmm, use, mm-hmm. you know, and lead the movement. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to use that.
I'm going to be modifying it.
What's your style?
I'm going to modify it a little bit. No, just the wording, because I wasn't able to, I wasn't thinking fast enough. I forgot to drink my Promil Gold 4 this morning. It just occurred to me now that because of, you know, something that happened, I came up with the analogy of a storm for talking about emotions. Like, yeah. you know, for example, when I was being really masungit one day, I apologized to Hope by explaining to her, you know what? You know, sometimes we feel a bit stormy, like there's a storm going on inside us, and the storm is not your fault. You know, the storm is yeah. not your fault, but also at the same time, try not to go near the storm when you can see there's a storm. You just try to keep away from it. Eventually, the storm will pass. And yeah. I translate that to her. Sometimes when she's feeling a bit grumpy, I talk about it. Na parang, oh, you're looking a bit stormy. What's wrong? Mm. So now she knows how to talk about it that way. And because of it's very visual, you know, I feel like she's able to express it more, or she's able to translate it more to things. So I'm going to make it like, okay, you look a bit stormy. Let's go shake off the storminess. Let's go shake off the storm.
Yeah, why not? You know, make it apply to what your kid is already familiar with in the setup at home.
Right.
Come up with your own thing. See, the fast brain connections was only limited to when we were actually talking about the guests. It's all gone now. I had a thought that I wanted to share, but it is gone.
You know what? Promo Gold 4 is available in e-commerce websites. So yes. if you need to drink some Promo Gold 4 for faster thinking, I know I do. But you know, speaking of our guests, by the way, it's really refreshing to have real parents on the podcast sharing their insights. It's
real parents and educators themselves.
You know, I really enjoyed this episode. You know, I'm sure you did too, Jelly, also.
Always, always with you, partner, and always with parent team. And you know what? I think we're going to have to wrap this baby up, and we will have to go figure out the terms that we use, whether it's scaries or stormies, you know, whichever one it is that you want to apply, alpha moms and alpha kids. Hey. Just if you do use that hack, let us know.
Yeah, let
okay,
us know
you
what
tag
you
us in your posts, tag us in your learnings. But that's it for us today,
unfortunately,
right, partner?
Yes, that's all the time we have for this episode of the Parenting Podcast. And we are real parents facing modern problems together. So let's all stick together, guys. Follow and subscribe to the podcast if you want to get more insights, more stories from our guests. And please also share them with your friends.
And we will see you guys again for another episode of the Parenting Podcast, Alpha Moms and Alpha Dads.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Hopefully, you've picked up quite a number of lessons, great insights from this episode, so you can get your kids to be fast-thinking kids as well. Even if you've missed that golden window of opportunity, you know what? You can still apply it. It is never too late.
Yeah,
an
like what David
absolute
said.
Absolute pleasure.
Now is the best time.
Exactly. A pleasure being with all of you. Thank you for listening. My name is Jelly Victor.
And this has been JC Alelis. We will catch you guys next time.
Bye.
The advice provided by our parent team experts are not intended or implied as a substitute for professional medical advice, nor for medical diagnosis or treatment. Your reliance on the information provided by the experts is at your own risk. Depending on individual and personal facts and circumstances, your medical doctor's recommendation on treatment and management may vary. Please continue to consult your own healthcare professional.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia, the hosts of the program, or other programs of the network. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.